Direct from St. Catherine of Siena, Roman Catholic Church, the Light of Christ Prayer Group. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Spirit of sweet
Jesus flows as a gentle breeze.
And if you listen to the radio show,
and it fills
Al Barbarino sings the song,
gladness,
and we don't let anyone listen to the words.
Our heart,
we talk over him.
At ease.
But doesn't get mad, he's such a nice guy.
Where the
and the words are simply, no matter what, Jesus is in charge
Jesus
of your life. No matter what,
the
Holy Spirit leads you through everything.
If we
and
take
the purpose of the show is to go after fallen
him,
away Catholics,
he will
cold
guide
Catholics.
Us
we don't want them to die.
The and our mission statement
let's
is simply, Jesus wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. Church life, our personal life, and our business life. And if you're in business, good idea.
Let's remember that
you'll do a great job.
He loves us, and let's thank him every day.
And tonight, we're at Light of Christ Prayer Group, Franklin Square, St. Catherine of Siena. And it's such a pleasure that Monsignor Rick let us come. Monsignor Rick, would you like to come and say hello on the show? Hey.
Well, thank you, John and Tony, for having the show here at St. Catherine today. And I think it's a great thing that you guys are doing in terms of evangelization for the people of Long Island, bringing the Word of God, bring people's testimony of their relationship with Jesus. And we know that when people speak from their hearts about their love for the Lord, it touches other people, and it wants them want to be able to turn back to the Lord as well. So we really appreciate the effort that you guys are putting into the show and continuing it and having it here this evening at St. Catherine of Siena. Thanks very much for that.
And thank you for your support and your love. And this is the first time ever that we're having a live audience, my senior, and we decided to do it at St. Catherine of Siena because of all your support.
Well, let's hear it for all the people of St. Catherine.
And you know, I knew you before you were Monsignor, so I call you Father. And I got to tell you this, all those wonderful words that you talked about what we were doing, we're really crazy. We don't know what we're doing. We just put ourselves in the presence of the Spirit and let the Spirit lead.
We kid around about things like that, but John, I know from working with you, you really allow the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct all the work that you do. And we know it is a work of the Lord, and how special it is that you guys want to be good and worthy instruments of doing the Lord's work. Again, we thank you for that.
Thank you.
And we're going to run this like a prayer meeting, and we're going to start with Come Holy Spirit with Al, Evelyn, Debbie, and Catherine, the music group. Al, go ahead, it's all yours.
She's number 21 in your book.
Hallelujah.
know, music is kind of the back pocket or the heart of a prayer group, and it gets everybody in the mood. That's why you're so important, Al and Evelyn, all of you. You're so important just to bring God to life in your heart, because his music touches your heart.
Great job. And John, our first live telecast on a live audience. Are you nervous?
No.
We got over 60 people here tonight. Thank you, everyone. Yes. Thank you so much. It's okay.
Great. And you know, we have the leaders of the prayer group, Pat Lannan and Nuala. What's your last name, Nuala?
Devani.
Nuala Devani. And we're so happy. And Judy, I know you're down back and you're too shy to come up, and I understand. That's all right. We'd like to tell the people who we're trying to bring back to church, what's a prayer group and why come to it? Pat? Nuala? Go ahead.
Oh. Well, to me, it's a group of believers. We all believe in Jesus Christ. We all believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we need community, and we have community in church, and we have it different times during the week. But a prayer group is, it's a little more intense. It's personal. It's, we can share our testimony. We can share our story of how God picked us up and pulled us out of something. And most of all, we can thank and praise him for the life we have, because we have a lot to be grateful for here in Franklin Square, USA. We are very blessed, and we have, no matter whether it's a big group here or a small group, we never leave here without an extra blessing that we came in without. And it's a beautiful thing.
And you don't, you or you should realize, or you probably do realize, how powerful your prayers are. How many people you have healed, how many people you have given another life to, how many people you have touched and inspired. I can tell you personally, from my own personal experiences, your prayers are powerful. Thank you.
And you people have been wonderful all these years. This is not a new prayer group. Pat, how long have you been here? Pat?
I've been a prayer group leader, I guess, about 8 years, but I've been in the prayer group since Father Charles Mangano started it, and that was in 1992.
Yeah. And isn't it just wonderful? You know what I like about a prayer group? The spirit takes over. You just relax and let the music and the love of God take over. Why do you run a prayer group, Pat? Why is it important to you?
I feel that God has called me to lead the prayer group. I don't feel capable. I don't feel like I'm equipped at all. But God has called me, and I've benefited tremendously from being the prayer group leader. It's so important because people feel like they're alone, and you're never alone. And when you come to the prayer group, you realize that, because there's others that are suffering just like you. And we carry each other. We support one another. We give words of encouragement, and we, of course, we pray for one another. That's the basis of the prayer group, is prayer.
So. And it's wonderful. You know, and people say that these charismatic people are crazy. They raise their hands and they hold hands and all this kind of stuff. I found out, Tony, why people who are charismatic raise their hand. Do you know what it is?
No, what?
Well, the spirit is floating around. And if you want to hear them, you have to put your antenna up. So you put your hands up and you wait for the spirit to come in. He'll come in. He'll touch you. Why don't you guys try it now? Raise your hand for a couple minutes. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come in and join this crowd. Touch everyone here, Lord. And now as I look around the room, you look like idiots, you know? Yeah, hands.
See, I told you, don't trust this Palmer guy.
But isn't it wonderful to be a fool for Jesus? Isn't that wonderful to be a fool for Jesus and to be able to laugh and to enjoy and to... Some prayer groups I go to, people dance in the aisles with the music, and they get around.
Amen.
And it's wonderful. It's wonderful just to see this. Now, we know that with 60 people here tonight, is this your usual crowd, Pat?
No.
What's your usual crowd?
Around 20 to 30.
That's nice. That's nice. And usually in a prayer group, for listeners who don't know, there's music. There's scripture reading. People share scripture as they're led to read scripture by whatever the Spirit leads them to. There's testimony, because people share what the Spirit is doing in their life. There's prayer for healing, and people do get healed. And do you see people stand up and walk who have been in wheelchairs? No, because the Spirit is internal, and He touches your heart, and He'll heal your heart from within. And people can come into a prayer group loaded with stuff, and by the time they leave, they have the peace of Jesus. Isn't that true?
That's true for me, because I come with stuff all the time, and I leave blessed, and I just leave with peace.
And Jesus is asking us, give Him our problems. Give Him our troubles. Give Him our concerns. He wants to carry them, but we need to be open to Him. And that's what you guys are doing. Pat, Nuala, when did Jesus first come into your lives?
Well, the first time really was when I was about 12, but somebody knocked me down, laughed at my sharing, so I hid him for many years after that.
Did you forgive him?
I didn't blame him. It was a person, an uncle. But I'm not sure. I think I was 33. I don't know when that number jumps out in my life, but it does. When I began the journey, the real relationship.
Now, has your life ever been the same?
Never.
Since you found Jesus?
Never.
Since you made a friend of Him?
Never been the same. No, I can almost say nothing.
How did He get into your heart? What did He do? Can you think about it?
Well, it was a gradual thing of trusting, number one, because... I know by trusting Jesus, by trusting my God, the Holy Spirit, the whole shebang, the three of them, it pushes out fear.
Mm-hmm.
And fear can be a tremendous downer in life. And everybody I talk to say the same thing.
And he led you to go to Trinidad, didn't he?
Jamaica.
Jamaica. Yes. How was that? Well, tell people a little bit about that on the radio.
Well, it's... this wonderful group of missionaries of the poor, they're based down there in Jamaica, and they do amazing work. So, a bunch of young men and some older men, but they do tremendous work taking care of the poor, the sick, the handicapped. And first time I went, I was really terrified. I didn't want to let Father Rick know that, but... I felt very inadequate, and I still do when I go, because I feel we do nothing in comparison to what the brothers do. Father Rick does. He does a lot. He gets down and dirty and does the real work. They give us the light jobs, I think. But it's very emotional to see the brothers at work and doing what they do and being so prayerful. And like they told us, the key to their being able to do this work is they stop for prayer at least 5 times a day. And that's a beautiful thing. That's just because you couldn't do this kind of work without God in your life and mm-hmm. knowing He uplifts you and He carries you. And the first time I went, I was like, I just didn't think I could do it. And I just had to pray like nothing on earth and try not to appear so scared. He got me through it. Like He got me through a million other things in life. And He gets me through every single day. He walks me home from church. He crosses the street, a busy street. He helps me cross. He doesn't help me. He leads me across the street. It's just He's in every part of my life, and I try. I heard a beautiful thing from Archbishop Dolan recently, and he said, practice the presence of God in your life.
There you go.
We have to practice everything.
That's right.
Because I can forget so easily.
How about you, Pat?
Well, I found Jesus when I was in second grade with the May processions. We would have the flowers and present the petals walking down the aisle. And I don't know, I found Jesus then. I felt it was a safe place to be. And it was just a place I wanted to be. I felt special. That's when I first felt special. And then the second time was the Crucio that I made, where they give you a pin and it says, God does not make junk, and I thought I was junk. And it took strangers throughout the weekend, that God uses strangers sometimes, and they work through me to believe that I was created in God's image and I was special. And I'm still working on that. You know, I'm still working on that. It's a lifelong process, but I know God is with me. I sometimes forget it. The music helps bring God closer to my heart, and the prayer group has touched my heart in a way that I will never forget. I mean, it's one of the most wonderful things I've done, other than breastfeed my son, was to be a prayer group leader, because the rewards are so beautiful, and the people, the hearts that you touch, and they comfort you, you comfort them, and you're a family. You become a family. So it's very special.
And always remember, and I'll keep saying it, your prayers are powerful, and God listens to them.
I'd like each of you, for just a moment, I'm going to ask Nuala and Judy and Pat to stand. And would you give them applause for their faithful leadership of this prayer group for so long? You ladies, I know you're embarrassed, but you're very special, and you're touching lives of many people, and even by being willing to come on the radio and talk about this, you're very special, and God's love is obviously working in you and in all the people that you serve here, so we thank you for that. And we're going to move on to the saint of the day, and Al, if you could play a little music in the background, Tony does the saint.
John, guess who the saint of the day is?
St. Margaret Mary.
How about St. Catherine of Siena?
Okay.
And why did I choose St. Catherine of Siena? Well, first of all, I chose St. Catherine of Siena because of her intense faith. And the readings for August the 7th has to deal with intense faith. If you recall, that's when Jesus invited Peter to walk on the water. And he did it until he lost faith. And then he starts sinking, and he had to get Jesus to help him. So, and of course, the main reason is because we're here in St. Catherine of Siena. And there are things that I've found about St. Catherine of Siena that is so powerful, so outstanding, that I never thought of before. I often thought of St. Catherine of Siena as, during the plague, going out there with a basket of bread as in the statue and helping people. But it goes deeper than that, much deeper than that. She was born in 1330, I believe it was, and she was a twin, believe it or not. But her twin sister died soon after birth. And so she was one of 25 children. 25 children in the family. Father was a little wealthy, thank the Lord. They didn't have television. The father was a little wealthy, and he was able to support them. They had a big house. And so St. Catherine was a happy baby, always joyful and happy and inspired with the love of Christ. And at the age of 6, when she was coming home with her brother from her married sister's house, she saw a vision. And that vision was of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a carpenter, but dressed in beautiful garments, sitting on a throne, and beside him, she thought, was Peter and John. And so that image lived with her for all those years. And at the age of 12, her mother wanted her to think about marriage. And so she was so, like so many other women saints, she was so involved with the love of Jesus, she wanted only one spouse, and that spouse was Jesus. And but the mother and father insisted at 12 that she start thinking about marriage. And she resisted it so badly. She just resisted it. Jesus was her focus. And so they fought with her, and then finally they gave up, and they allowed her to live in a room by herself and to pray hours upon hours upon hours. The only thing the father did was he fired his maid and his servants, and he wanted her to be the maid and the servant, and which she gladly accepted for her love of Jesus. And she kept having visions, and she kept seeing Jesus. And there are things that probably we don't know, is that she offered her heart to Jesus. In her prayers, she said, "Jesus, I give you my heart. I give it to you. Take it. I want you to be with me all the time." And for a while, she thought that Jesus didn't hear, and for a while, she was very sad because she thought Jesus wasn't accepting her heart. Till finally one night, she had a vision of Jesus. I'm sure not too many people know about this. And this is authenticated in a book, and it's got the imprimatur, and John Palmer gave me the book, by the way. And Jesus was there, and he took out her heart and put his heart into her and healed her up again. But in order to prove that he's changed hearts and he gave her his heart, he left a scar so that it could be authenticated and that so people would know that Jesus put his heart into her. And she was like, "Jesus, I want to give you my heart." And Jesus said to her, "Catherine, I have your heart. My heart is in your heart. You will be with me forever." And then Jesus appeared again with his mother, the Blessed Mother. Jesus wants us, by the way, to know her mother. So if we don't know her, it's a good idea that we get to know her mother, because she's such a loving mother and Jesus loves her so much. And I learned this from Palmer. Through Mary, know Mary, know Jesus. Know Mary, K-N-O-W, know Jesus, K-N-O-W. You taught me that, Palmer.
I stole that from Mother Teresa.
Okay. So anyway, she appeared there with the Blessed, he appeared with the Blessed Mother, and the Blessed Mother held up her hand, and Jesus took a ring and put it on her finger and said to her, "Now, my dear Catherine, we are one, and you will be with me forever." And so that was one. She had other amazing experiences and mystical things, but another one was that when there was a battle between Florence and Rome, and the Pope Gregory went to France. And she was appalled by the fact that the Pope would leave Rome, appalled. And she said, "I'm going to tell him." And she wrote him a letter. And she went there. And she said, "This is not right. You belong in Rome." He didn't listen to her. But in any event, he did amend ways with the battles between Rome and Florence. And so she went back. And then, after Pope Gregory, the next pope, I forget his name, listened to her and agreed with her and moved back to Rome. And thus, Rome became the main site of our Catholic Church. It's getting me nervous again.
No, don't be nervous.
Okay. I'm not done yet.
Okay, hurry up.
Okay.
We're running out of time.
See what I mean by him? The next step was during the plague. She did go out, and she did nurse all the people the bishop got the plague, and she went to the bishop, and she says, she fed him, and she says, "You're cured. Get up and get out there." And sure enough, he was cured. He got up, and he got out there. Suddenly, she got ill at the age of 33, the age of Jesus, and she passed away. But another important point that we all should know is that she's a doctor of the church. There are only 33 doctors of the church, and she is one of them. And I believe there are only three women, female doctors of the church, and she's one of them. So aren't we so blessed to have as our patron saint, Saint Catherine of Siena? And when we look at her statue out there, it's more than just carrying three loaves of bread and visiting the sick. She changed and cured many lives. And that's my research, Dr. Palmer.
It's wonderful. How about a hand for St. Catherine of Siena? You know, Tony, people want to say, you know, why do we have these saints on this kind of show where we're trying to bring people back? And what we're trying to do is just say, St. Catherine of Siena is just like everyone sitting in this room, a person just like you and me. And the thing that always strikes me about saints, about the Blessed Mother, about Jesus, the same spirit in each of us is in them. It's the exact same Holy Spirit that's dwelling in all of us, because you say yes and you let that spirit in. I love St. Catherine of Siena's example about praying. And she said, she used to say, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking to you. And I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to do this." And she learned in her prayer life to change that around. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And that's what we're called to do. Those of you who are away, those of you who turned your back on the church for one reason or another, have grown cold, listen. The Lord is speaking to you.
And Ralph Martin said, you know, every person should aspire to make it to heaven. Because if you miss, at least you go to purgatory. But if you aspire to go to purgatory, where are you going to go?
You're back. He wants to give you the spirit. We're going to have the spirit song sung now so that we can perhaps light a fire under those of you who have pulled away. We know here we're talking to the choir. But, you know, choir, you can go out and sing to anybody. You don't have to leave it here. You can take it home.
How about the spirit song?
Fill your heart and set you free.
yourself. The Spirit is filling your heart right now. And for those of you who are not here at the radio show, you would look be surprised at what we saw. 60 people standing up and inviting the Spirit to be part of their life. And we're going to go a little further now. We have a couple of other people who are going to tell us what happened through the power of prayer in their life and how they got involved with Jesus.
Louis, Dolores.
Supposing we have you tell us your name first.
My name is Dolores Santangelo.
I think I know you.
Yes, we had her on a show.
You were on from the Medjugorje show.
That's correct.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you are?
Louis Kohner.
And Louis, welcome again. You're in a men's prayer group.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And what do you do, Louis? What are you doing now? You just graduated from what school?
I graduated Cary High School.
And how old are you?
I'm 17. I'll be 18 in a month. And we're in the men's prayer group on Thursdays. And I'm working now over the summer, staying busy. So.
And you have impressed me so much, and you have touched my heart. I'd like you to tell your story about Jesus.
Okay.
And Dolores, too, but we'll go one at a time.
All right, well, thanks again, Tony and John, for having me on, and for St. Catherine's, the wonderful support group here. I think it's important to always pray and find Jesus in our lives. And for me, I started on my own to research, you know, who is God? Who is this God that we always talk about in our lives? That you hear so much, especially in public school, you know, people questioning their faith all the time and you know, trying to get doubt in their faith. So for me, I try to research on my own and find out how God works in my life. And I eventually came to the conclusion that, as John 8:32 says, the truth will set you free. If you find the Spirit in Christ, if you find that truth, we won't be slaves to sin. And that's the beauty of the Eucharist, of Jesus, of His sacrifice, that we won't be slaves to sin. And all the stuff that people doubt in our lives, and especially my generation deal with, sometimes they might get confused of Jesus' message and His calling. And their master is not Jesus, it's sin, unfortunately. But if we find Jesus, we'll have that freedom to bring Him to our hearts, and that's how, you know, I got involved more in the church and in the men's group.
How'd you find Him? What'd He do? Did He knock you on the head? Say, hi, Louie? You know, 17-year-old guy, how'd He get you?
Yeah, when did He first come into your life?
Well, I've always been involved in the parish. I have a family who's very spiritual. I was always an altar server. But I think it starts to happen in school and in AP classes, and especially all the stuff going on in this world. You start to say, where is Jesus, you know, in the world and in all the trouble spots in the world, in the poor and the sick? Where is Jesus? Where is His love? And everyone acts out of school, and some people, instead of, you know, researching and finding the beauty of the church and the sacraments, might just walk away, like we said, the cold Catholics. But I wanted to find more and see, especially at these inspiring people like the saints, how did they experience Jesus? How did they find Him? So I wanted to try to find Him as well, and that's, I guess, how I'm here.
Wow. You're a saint in the making. God bless you.
Wonderful. Dolores, why don't you give us a little bit of your story?
Okay, well, I've always been devoted to Jesus and the Blessed Mother. Throughout my life, and I owe that credit to my parents. I was raised in a very Catholic family, but I wanted to really share a miracle story that happened in December of 2006. In my home, we were having a prayer service.
Come up to the mic.
We were having a prayer service entitled the 2,000 Hail Marys, where you literally pray 2,000 Hail Marys throughout the day. And it begins around 11 in the morning. We usually end around 11 in the evening.
2,000?
Yes.
Wow.
I've been there, Palmer. 2,000.
And people actually tend to come and go throughout the day through the house. So on December 9th, I always have it closest to the Immaculate Conception because that's my favorite feast day of the Virgin Mary. So on December 9th, it was the Feast of Juan Diego, and it was 2006. And my daughter, I have two daughters, Jess and Mary, And my younger daughter had gone Christmas shopping with one of her friends, and I blessed her as usual. But that day, as I was praying that day, I always pray for my children together, but for some reason, Mary kept coming to me, just pray for Mary, keep praying for Mary. And I had written a petition for God to always to protect my children and to protect my entire family when they're driving. And at around 1:30 in the afternoon, one of the priests that I'm close to, Father Christopher Rizzopi, came over and celebrated Mass. And we offered the Mass specifically for Mary because she was just diagnosed with ulcers in her esophagus. So we prayed very hard for her.
Who was Mary again?
My daughter, my youngest daughter.
Okay.
And then as Father celebrated Mass for her, we had a break then for lunch and we went back to prayer. While we were praying, I received a phone call at 10 minutes to 4 that she was in a horrific car crash. Mm-hmm. But I heard her. I heard her voice on the phone. But what happened was she was on the Meadowbrook Parkway, and she actually lost control of the car. And the car rolled over 3 times, went into a gully, hit a tree. The tree fell down on top of the car.
Oh.
And how her and her girlfriend were saved was that the seats broke in the car, and the girls fell to the bottom of the car because the entire top of the car was completely gone. And we were praying the 2,000 Hail Marys, and my 2 petitions were for the safety of my children and their protection while driving.
And tell us the outcome.
The outcome was the girls were injured, but not really severely. My daughter actually broke her C6 vertebrae in her neck, so if it was any higher, she would have been paralyzed. Mm. She had to wear a cervical collar, but that was okay. And her girlfriend broke her knee, dislocated her hip. But both girls are well, and they're doing just fine.
And if anyone saw the picture of the car, you would be amazed that those girls got out alive.
When I arrived at the hospital, the policeman said, "These are the luckiest girls I've ever seen." He said it was just amazing by the looks of the car. And thanks be to God, I didn't see the car till like 3 days later when I saw it in the pound. But God was just amazing that we were actually praying and saved my daughter's and her girlfriend's life.
Well, she had 2,000 Hail Marys
to
back her up.
She certainly did.
And you know, all those prayers get into the depth of your heart. Tony, nobody really knows this, but my first wife, I was married about a year and a half, and she was pregnant with our daughter. And she went out to get a birthday card for her mother. And as she was driving across Sunrise Highway in a Volkswagen, she was hit broadside by a station wagon and thrown out of the car into the center divide, right in the grass. And of course, I'm home not knowing anything at all. And I'm there with my son. And the police come to the door. And they said, "Your wife had an accident. And it's serious. And you should go over to Southside Hospital." So I went. And I didn't know, you know, I didn't drive the road that she went on. I went another road over to Southside Hospital. And the reason why I'm telling you, when I walked into the emergency room, I heard a woman screaming out loud saying, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death." And I said, "Oh, that poor woman is my wife." And she had a fractured skull. And we didn't know what their chances were, not good. So we prayed all night. And the next morning when I went to the hospital, they took a second set of x-rays and the fracture was healed. The power of prayer. And, you know, so it's amazing. You know, you're at a prayer group and you're here talking to people, but you don't know what's going on in the lives of every person here. You have no idea what they're carrying. You know, we're all here looking like jolly, well-fed people, but we all have our crosses. And the power of prayer to carry you through each of those crosses is just totally, totally unbelievable.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. We have people here tonight that are graduates of our program.
that have given witness to their prayers and to the mercy of God, how they were cured from grave, grave sicknesses.
I'm going to make a dream of yours come true.
Oh, I love you, Dr. Palmer. I love you.
He has been bugging me. Can he walk around with the microphone and talk? Go.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. Thank you. Here I am, everybody. But I do. I don't sing because Al Barbarino told me not to sing. I tap dance if you want. I could tap dance on the desk if you want.
I've heard you sing. Don't sing.
And I've paid for singer lessons for Dr. Palmer. But also, we've had, and the people are here that have been on our show that have given testimony of the power of faith, the power of prayer. What Jesus can do, he can do anything. There's no such thing as giving up. There's no hope. Because with Jesus and with faith, my bride of 50 years will tell you, Joan, there is hope. Where's Barbara? Barbara will tell you, there is hope. There's hope with Jesus, and he's the guy.
And there are miracles. If Joan can stay with you for 50 years, that's a miracle unto itself.
I know.
You know, but we wanted you to see how crazy we are and how silly we are. But the joy of God is in our hearts, same as it's in your hearts tonight, isn't it? Aren't you joyful that God's here? Barbara, you've gotten a healing from cancer. We have Liz here. Those who have listened to the show, Liz has Chiari disease. And it's a terrible disease, and she's gone through several surgeries. And we're going to let you say hello, Liz. Say hello.
Hello.
That's it.
Tell a little bit about what's happening. You're going to be on in August, but tell us a little.
I know, second week in August with my husband and my aide, who she calls herself the 49-year-old Jewish grandmother, who's so much fun, and a very special friend who's been helping me out tremendously. So I look forward to it.
And Barbara, who's your favorite guest of our show?
That's Liz.
I mean, Liz, I'm sorry. Who's your favorite guest that
we
wanted to meet?
See, we have people who've been on the radio show with us. Lenny?
And there he is.
How you doing? Say hello. You say hello.
No, no. This is you.
No, we don't want it.
Hi, Lenny. That's it. I don't.
We got to watch our time, though, too.
Deacon Frank?
Oh, yeah. And Deacon Frank, before we finish, you come up here.
See,
Al,
I knew
can
I'd
you
sing
play
you
the
out.
Spirit song again? Yes. Wait till you hear this guy. Do you know the Spirit song? We just sang it, right? Here come the words. Aren't you glad you came, Frank? Come on.
Absolutely. We're always drafted by the Lord.
Get him started.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs.
Sing for the Lord.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you.
See, you got to watch it. If you're ever around Tony and myself, you got to watch it.
You never know what's going to
happen. Because we just let the spirit take over.
By the way, there's one thing I want to mention. On our show, every show we say, Palmer and I are just two young kids in love with Jesus, with love in our hearts. Do us a favor. Don't go out there and tell them the real truth, okay? As far as you're concerned, we're still two little kids, and we got Jesus in our hearts.
We're young at heart.
Young at heart.
Old in body, young at heart. You know, we also have a segment on our show where we pray for healing. And we get all these petitions. And where's Nick? Come here, you. Come here. This man. Come here, turn around. First of all, tell him your name.
Nick Zuvik.
Nick
the
makes...
The cross man.
Nick is the cross man. He makes crosses. And when we started our show, Nick made a cross for us. That cross that's on the table is what he made. And we thank you for it. And he also watches the show on television, because if you're on WGBB on your computer, you can watch the show on television, too. You get a wonderful view of the back of my head.
That's right. A beautiful view. And my wife watches Oprah, and I watch Jesus is on the Air.
Okay. But we thank you. And Nick takes pictures, and he sends me commentaries every week.
The love letters.
Yes. Some of them are nice.
I don't want to say they blocked me out, but after all, you know, I have to do something over here. Nick is on our show.
It's coming soon.
Nick is a regular listener. I love the guy, and he gives us a critique every. Nick and my wife critique us every week religiously. I look forward to their phone calls.
Thank you.
Okay, Nick. Okay. Now, we want you all to pray with us as we pray for the healing of people who have written in so many petitions. I got to watch the time.
We
okay.
got 9 minutes.
Al, could you put a little music in the background, a little soft stuff? And Tony, come on up front here. We have so many people who ask for prayer, and there's so many people with needs. So let's put ourselves in the presence of God. And we know that your pain you brought here tonight, we don't know exactly what you're carrying, but we know you brought your pain here tonight. So Jesus, we ask you, please, touch the people here in our audience and touch the people who are listening on the radio. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you.
And Jesus, we give you thanks and praise and glory for the cures you have given from our partitions. You cured the little girl, Victoria, from cancer. And there's very little chance that cancer would come back. You saved one of our listeners from committing suicide. We thank you. We praise you.
And we're praying right now for Liz with her recovery from Chiari disease. You don't know what Chiari disease is. It's the brain is too big to stay in the skull, so it works its way down into the spinal column and into the throat. And Liz has had several surgeries, but the last one just about 4 months ago. And we've been praying for her and for Scott and for their children, that she be healed. So tonight, would you raise your hands? And we ask the Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come upon Liz and Scott and their family. And Jesus, she still is suffering from vestibular activity, dizziness, heart palpitations. And we ask you, Jesus, you promised to take them away in our prayer time. And we ask you, Lord, touch Liz. Touch Scott now. Touch them so that they can be set free of this terrible, terrible illness. One thing I know about this lady, she's no shrinking violet. She's a fighter, and she's wonderful. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us.
And we love her dearly.
Yes. So, you know, the reason why I'm so glad you're here tonight, Liz, so stop crying. We're so happy that you're here because we want people to realize these petitions that we pray for are real. We're not making them up.
They're there.
And we get a man in Brooklyn. Tell them about the man in Brooklyn.
We have a man in Brooklyn that listens to our show, and I meet him twice a week at St. Aloysius Church, and he does readings. And he told us, and he does readings from the Bible. And he gives them to us, and he gives them to, so I can show them to Palmer, and tells us.
And we pray. We pray. And we ask everybody to pray. But he tells us things in Scripture. And
he
so
tells
forth.
Us things in Scriptures that are amazing us. He told. Tell him. You tell him what he told us last week about.
We told him, it said last week at the bottom of his paper, Dr. Palmer is going to be doing something with Archbishop Dolan in New York City. And he had no idea that we're in the process of working on bringing a visionary from Damascus, Syria, into the Archdiocese of New York. And he had no idea. And it was just a confirmation that what we've had in prayer, that's going to happen. We certainly hope so.
So he gives us these, he gives me twice a week and tells us what Jesus is about to do for us.
And even though we cut our healing prayer short, because we're going to be running out of time on the show, we just thank Jesus for being here. And Jesus, if you have any words that you'd like to share through me, we'd love that. There are people here who are depressed, and people here are grieving. I will move in the midst of your grieving, and I will move in the midst of your depression, and I will lift you up, and I will touch you. There are people here who are shaky in their belief that I really am alive. And I promise each of you who are here and all those who are listening that I will show you in your daily life that I am truly alive if you let me in. All you have to do is say yes. And I'll show you, just as Nuala was led to go to the missions, and Pat is led to have a prayer group, and Dolores is led to say 2,000 Hail Marys, and Lewis is led as a young man. I will lead you. I will touch you. And I will lift you and surprise you in so many ways that I can and will and do touch you. And we're going to have to bring our show to a close.
Can I just say a quick prayer?
Absolutely.
Jesus, we thank you, give you praise and glory for allowing us to do this show tonight, first time ever with a live audience. We ask that you bless the audience. You bless everyone in this room. You stay by their sides. You hold their hands. You help them. You guide them. And you let them know that you are truly their best friend. And so we ask this in the name of your Father, our Creator. Amen. And thank you, everyone. We love you. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus.
And we're going to finish up with I Saw the Light. Al? I saw the light. Why don't you stand up and sing, and we'll go out with
Are
a big...
Are you going to sing, Dr. Palmer?
No. A big hurrah. Thank you again.
God bless you all, and thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good job.
And we say good night, from St. Catherine of Siena. Those of you who are listening, find a prayer group in your parish. Come out and join the fun.